Good morning. Happy Easter. Thank you so much for being here today. We're really glad that you're here with us as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. If you're watching or listening online for any reason, thank you for doing that as well. And happy Easter to you. If you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14 or on your devices, this is also going to be on the screen in just a minute. And these verses are in your bulletin this morning, so you got plenty of ways to follow along. We're going to be in John 14, and I'll say some more about that in just a second. First, just one announcement for our church family. If you were here Friday night for our Good Friday service, you heard Keith say this, but we want to let all of you know again. This past week, one of the families in our church experienced a sudden and unexpected death. Rachel Jordan, who we got to celebrate her baptism just a few weeks ago, her husband, Michael, died this week, and they had both just gotten new jobs, and were just getting started in those. And so one of the ways that we want to love and minister to Rachel and her family during this time as they're grieving is we want to try to help with funeral costs. And so on your way out today, there's black boxes there, or if you're on the app to give, you can select benevolence. If you'll just make sure we know that you're giving a special gift, especially to go toward benevolence. Anything we get benevolence-wise this week, we're going to give towards Michael's funeral costs. And while we do grieve with Rachel and grieve Michael's death, I also would say, you may, if you were here that day when I got to baptize her, Michael was standing down here with me, and he and I got to talk for several minutes before the service. And he was so excited to talk about the work of God in his life. He had come to faith about 8 years ago. They had been coming to this church for just a few weeks after they had come back into the area. And he was so excited about the things that God was teaching him from his word. And so while we grieve, we also say that because of today, we do celebrate that the work of Jesus and the very things that we believe today, because Jesus lives, Michael lives. And so we do celebrate that, and we pray that truth will keep being a comfort and an encouragement for Rachel. But if you'd like to support the family in that way, we just want to make sure that you knew about that need and knew about that opportunity. So thank you for that. We have been in a series through the I Am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. Things like, I am the light of the world, I am the true vine, I am the bread of life. We've been doing that for about 2 months. And today we've come to the last I Am statement that he makes, not chronologically, but the last one that we're studying, the seventh out of seven. And so that's where we are in John 14. And as you read here with me in just a minute, I just want to say we're in the middle of a huge teaching section from Jesus. And that's always, if you all know, if you're here regularly, that's really frustrating for me, because it's like if Jesus talks and doesn't stop talking, a big part of me wants to read everything he says and not break it up. The problem is he starts talking in John 13, and in this particular section of the Gospel of John, he talks through all of chapter 14, all of chapter 15, all of chapter 16. He prays for all of chapter 17, and I thought, if I read all that, I may lose you. So we're doing 21 verses in John 14. And also, just so you know the context for him talking right here, the first 11 chapters of the Gospel of John cover basically 33 years. You know, all of Jesus' life. They focus mainly on his 3 years of ministry. Or if you wanted to get really technical, the first chapter of the Gospel of John goes back to all eternity past, when Jesus, as the Word of God, dwells with God, exists as God, and creates all things. So you could say that the first 11 chapters deal with all eternity. But when we get to chapter 12, the next 9 chapters focus on just 6 days. So 9 chapters for 6 days of Jesus' life. And it's this week that we're in right now. It starts with the week before Easter, leading up to Jesus' death on Friday and resurrection in John chapter 20. So we get 9 chapters for 6 days, which tells you how significant, how important this week and especially this day is in the mind of John as he writes, but also for all of us, because this is the day that changes everything in the history of the world. This is the most significant event that has ever happened. Jesus Christ, who came down and claimed to be the Son of God and God the Son, and said that he was going to die, lay his life down willingly to save us and make us right with God, and then take his life back up again. He did exactly what he said. And that's why we're here today. That's what we celebrate. And so as we read these verses, I think you'll hear him already talking. This is just a day before that, a day before he dies, in advance of what's about to happen. But also, if you're not here with us real often, we do things that might seem a little bit different to you on Sunday mornings in this setting. Instead of just one person getting up here and saying, hey, here's a few things to see in the Bible today, we pray beforehand and we ask God that he would speak to us out of this passage we're going to read, that his spirit would open our eyes and help us see truths about him. And then we ask you to tell us what God's showing you. And so I'm going to pray in just a minute. I'm going to read these verses. As I read, I'm going to ask you to be listening for the answer to this main question. What does this teach us about God? What are truths about God? Who he is, how he works, what he does, what he has done in history, his nature, his character, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Any truths about God that you feel led to share, and we'll talk through those, and then I may share a few thoughts at the end, depending on how much time we have left. And then based on all that, we're going to be saying, okay, if these things are true about God, what's God saying to your heart this morning? If you believe these things, if there is faith being stirred up inside of you in response to who God is, what does he want to do in your life, in your heart, in this church, in our lives? And then we'll come together again at the end to worship together and again celebrate Jesus and his resurrection. But I just wanted you to have an idea of what this is going to look like. So if you'll pray with me right now, and then we'll read John 14 together. Father, thank you for this time right now. Thank you for this day when we remember that everything Jesus ever said, he did. And that every promise you have ever made is true because of Jesus. And so we come right now, Father, and we have hope. And we celebrate because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and most especially because of the resurrection. And we ask because of that, in the name of Jesus, with boldness and confidence coming to you right now, we ask you, Father, please do a spiritual work during this time that only you can do. Please teach us by your Spirit from your word as only you can. Open up the truth of your word to us and open us up to the truth of your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, what does this teach us about God? Jesus talking at the beginning of John 14 here, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Okay, lots and lots of stuff packed in there. But what's that teach us about God? What do you see that you'd like to share right now? John points us here to, in a sense, what's our main verse, because this is the phrase, the sayings we've been focused on, but John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John said there's only one way to be right with God. And I don't think I can rattle off the whole list in order that he just gave us, but they were all great. You know, all the things that the world might tell you, here's the ways to establish yourself, or even that just your own thoughts and human nature and tendencies that every other religion in the world would tell you in some sense or another. Here's how you can get to God or be right with God or work your way to God or earn God's approval or deserve God's acceptance. And Jesus is like, none of that will do it. None of that's ever going to be enough. None of that's enough for what God's standards really are, and none of that's enough to rescue you from the things that are most deeply wrong and broken in your heart toward God. Jesus is like, there's only one way. There is only one way that you can be right with God. And then Jesus makes the boldest claim that could ever be made by any person walking on earth. He's like, there's only one way to be right with God, and I am that way. Jesus, and Jesus alone. And so there's no religious ritual that you can go through. John mentioned getting wet, like including baptism. We don't believe that's what makes you right with God. What baptism actually is a celebration and a declaration of the very thing we're talking about today. That we're plunged under the water as a picture of Jesus dying and being buried. And we're brought back up out of the water as a declaration. Jesus came back to life. This is his resurrection. His death by faith has become my death. And his resurrection by faith becomes my resurrection. Because he lives, I will live. This is Jesus making me right with God. And you can fill in the blanks with anything else you're ever told. None of those things, none of those religious rituals, none of those works, none of the things that you try to achieve or accomplish or bring about in your life, in the world, none of that will get you to God. That's not the way. Jesus is the way. There's only one way to be right with God. And Jesus is that way. What other truths about God do you see? Jesus is coming back. And one of the great things about the fact that every promise that Jesus made while he was on earth, everything that he predicted or said in advance to his disciples, when we see that that happens, that he keeps all those promises, it's assurance and confidence for every promise that he's made about the future. Those things are going to happen too. He's going to keep those promises too. The fact that he came back to life, the fact that death could not hold him, death could not stop him from keeping his promises, it is the hope for us that nothing can stop him. Like, once death can't stop you, what can? And so when you come down here and he says, well, he says it several different places. Did you have a verse in mind? I'll let you go first. It was your truth. Yeah, this is the simplest one, isn't it? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Jesus is saying that after the resurrection, when he ascends to heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he's there, you know, in the presence of the glory of God, that he's preparing a place for everyone who will believe in him, that everyone who's connected to him shares in his life, his resurrection life, but also that everyone who's connected to him is going to share in his relationship with the Father. When you get down here to the end, the way that he says it, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. That this relationship that God the Son has had with God the Father from all eternity past, when we are connected to Jesus by faith, he is sharing with us his relationship with the Father. That he is connecting us to God by connecting us to him. And so, yes, his resurrection means we share in his resurrection life. But his ascension into the presence and glory of God in heaven, he said, I'm going to take you there with me. And this place of joy and perfection and love and hope and the presence of the Father for all eternity, because you are in me and I'm in the Father, I'm going to share all that with you. And I will come back and I will get my people. I will keep this promise just like I've kept all my other promises. And that's our hope. That's one of the things that we still look forward to now, is that everything he's ever said, he's done. And he said this and he's going to do this. What else stands out to you? Other truths about God?
He's so big, he's got room for us all.
God is so big, he's got room for us all. Verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And you connect that then to, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. And we've kind of looked at this several times the past few weeks. These two aspects of the salvation that God offers in Jesus. One aspect being, it is very, very wide. It is open to anyone who will believe in Jesus. That anyone who trusts in Jesus is connected to Jesus by faith. And all the things in our life, in our heart, all the sin in us that would keep us from God, God takes all of that and he pulls it off of you. Like removes it from you, and he places it on Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, the service that we were celebrating just 2 days ago, he pays the price. He takes the penalty and the punishment that you owed for your sin, and he pays it in your place. And so God's justice is satisfied. He can look at you and he can say, everything that was owed for your sin, it's been taken care of. It's just been taken care of by Jesus instead of by you. And God offers you forgiveness and acceptance and love on the basis of what Jesus has done for you. And then God takes all of the perfection and the goodness and the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus, and he pulls it from Jesus and he puts it on you. And it's like he's saying, this belongs to you now. This was in Jesus' bank account, if you want to say it that way. And because you've been connected to Jesus, you've got a joint account with Jesus now. And everything that was credited to Jesus because of his perfect righteousness also belongs to you, not because of your righteousness, but because of his, and you're connected to him and you share in his now. And so God can look at anyone and everyone, whatever race, whatever background, whatever culture, whatever socioeconomic status, whatever level of education or intelligence, whatever level of success or failure in the world, whatever you've done in your life, however good or bad people would say you are, however many religious rituals you have kept or haven't kept, whatever you have lived up to or haven't lived up to, God would look at you and he would say, because Jesus is the way and not you, there's nothing about you that qualifies you or disqualifies you. And so it's open to everyone, anyone who will be connected to Jesus, anyone who will trust in Jesus, anyone who will turn from themselves and turn to Jesus. God says, this is for you. It's that wide. There are that many rooms. For everyone who will believe in Jesus, there is room in the Father's house for you. You can be part of his family. And simultaneously, this part's just as important to hear, because if it's that good, if it's that wide, the most important thing that any of us could know is, okay, so how do I get there? If this is what God is offering anyone, how do we get it? And so while it's this wide in the offer, it's this narrow in the way you get there. He said, there's only one way though. Only through Jesus. There is no other way. Jesus and Jesus alone. It is so narrow that if you try to get there any way other than Jesus, you will not make it. It is so wide that anyone who will come through Jesus can get there. And it's so narrow that if you try to come any other way, no one can get there. And so hear both sides of that. God is so big, he's got room for us all in Jesus. And there's only one way to be right with God, and Jesus is that way. And different religions, different viewpoints, different currents of thought within the world will emphasize one side of that or the other. And I just want to encourage you that if we let the Bible speak to us and we let Jesus tell us what he wants us to know about this moment, the main thing to know is they're both true. You grab hold of both of them and you say, this is for everyone. And you can look at anybody in the world and say, you're not too far gone. This is for you. This gospel, this good news of what Jesus has done, it's for you and it's for me and it's what we need. And we offer it to everyone in the name of Jesus. And that's why I hope that we'd be a church where it's like, anyone's welcome here. There's nothing you've ever done that would be so bad or so far off or that you would be so confused or lost that you can't walk in here and say, we're glad you're here. We want you to know Jesus because wherever you've been, whatever you've done, we need Jesus just as much as you do. And Jesus has been enough for us, and we know he can be enough for you, for anyone ever. But then also we would look people in the eye and we would say, but it's only Jesus. You're welcome here no matter what. But the thing that you're welcome here to hear is that it's only Jesus, and if you choose anything else, you can't get there. So they're both true, both things simultaneously in Jesus. Because of Jesus, the widest offer that God could ever give, anyone, anytime, anywhere can be made right with him. And because of Jesus, the most exclusive offer God could ever give, because only through Jesus. There's no other way to do it. Other truths about God, what else stands out to you? Kes. Oh, what verse are you looking at? She said, Jesus always responds. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And again, this is really a microcosm of the truth that we were just talking about, the joint truths. Now he's talking to people who have put their faith in him and are following him. And he's like, here's one of the promises that I give to you as my people. Anything you ask in my name, I'll do it. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ask for anything in my name and I will do it. And listen, this is a huge, wide promise. And then also, there is something very narrow in it as well. And like you hear both things. He says, in my name, and for this reason, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you know, in my name, it has the idea of consistent with who I am. The things that you would ask that are consistent with Jesus and who he has shown himself to be, the truths that he's revealed about himself, the things that are consistent with his character. He said, when you, as my follower, have been attached to me in such a way that my nature and character is being shared with you and your character is being shaped by me and who I am is shaping the things that you long for and pray for in this world, I'll do all of that for you. He said, but it has to be consistent with who I am. And when your heart is that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That this is always for God's glory. Jesus always responds to his people though. Like hear that. Hear the offer that he makes to you. Ask me for what you need. Ask in my name. Ask for the glory of the Father and I'll do it. Like this is the one who died and came back to life. He is the one with the power and authority to conquer death. And he offers to share that with you as a gift of grace. If we believe verses 13 and 14, if we believe the truth that Kes just shared with us, how differently would we pray? How much more would our first reaction to everything that comes up in our life, everything that comes up in the world, be, I'm going to pray about this. Because what Jesus can do is so much better than what I can do. Like instead of me immediately running to, well, here's my solutions. Here's what I need to do. Here's how I can fix it. Here, and just spinning inside our own heads. I'm going to take this to God. And I'm going to ask him to do what only he can do. I'm going to ask him to give what only he can give. And yeah, like he may work that through me. He may use me to do those things because that's part of what he's talking to. I'm going to live in you in these verses by my spirit. Like the one who has the power over death promises by faith to come and live inside you and do his work through you. And so it very well may be that God uses you to answer some of this, but it's God living in you and not you on your own. And so just a huge application for all of us, individually and as a church. If you believe Jesus, how differently would you pray? Do you pray like you believe Jesus? Are you growing in prayer in a way that shows that your faith in Jesus is growing? What other truths stand out to you? Yeah. Yeah, we could spend so much time on Jesus saying this right here, and we could like twist it in 100 different directions, like you're turning this diamond and you keep seeing different facet. But to see Jesus is to see God the Father. One of the most important things that you could ever see from this truth is that this is Jesus saying, I am equivalent to God. Like this is human Jesus saying, I'm also fully God. And when you see me, you're seeing God the Father. And then also, though, and this may be just as important, this is Jesus saying, if you want to know God, if you want to see who God really is, this is Jesus talking, not me. Jesus says, look at me. Like when you see me, you see who God is. And one of the things I would challenge you with right here is that the world can give you a million different ideas about who God is. And religion can give you a million different ideas about who God is. And your own thoughts and opinions can give you a million different ideas about who God is. And even like your religious activities and just the little pieces that you don't even realize that you've picked up for years and years and years from all these different thoughts and ideas that people give you. And maybe even in Bible study. When you come to Bible study, but you study it from a human perspective instead of God's perspective, and then you got this stuff from the world, a million different pieces, and they all start sticking together, and you start to build this picture of God, and you couldn't even say exactly where it really came from, but you come to this place where you think that's who God is, and Jesus is like, if it doesn't look like me, that's not who God is. And one of the temptations that we have, just especially for religious people who would show up on Easter and say, I know that it's important for me to be here today and I want to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. One of the temptations for us is that once we kind of develop our picture of God, we'll come to the Bible and we'll try to find ways to make the Bible fit our picture. Right, as if my thoughts about God are the authority and the Bible needs to match what I think about God. And Jesus is basically saying, I may need to blow up some of your thoughts about God. And what you need to do is bring your thoughts about God to me. And if they don't line up, don't try to reinterpret me to fit your thoughts. Reinterpret your thoughts to fit me. That's what he's saying right here. That when you see Jesus, who Jesus really is, what he says, what he does, what he teaches, that is the ultimate statement about who God is. And everything you think and believe about God needs to be shaped by who Jesus is, what Jesus says, what Jesus has done. To see Jesus is to see God the Father. So one of the ways I would encourage you to evaluate all your thoughts about God and anything you ever hear taught about God is to ask very simply, does that line up with who Jesus is? Does that line up with what Jesus said? Does that line up with what Jesus does? And if it does, great. Like you've got a piece about God that is true and accurate and hold on to it. And if it doesn't, ditch this thought that you had and grab onto the real thing in Jesus. And let Jesus keep teaching and shaping and helping you see who God really is. So to see Jesus is to see God the Father. And this is a huge claim that Jesus makes. Make no mistake about the fact that Jesus was standing there and saying, I am equal to God. And I would encourage you that if he were to lie or just be wrong about something that huge, like a claim where there's not really any room for, maybe a little, it's like, no, either you're God or you're not. If he were wrong about it, what happened on this Sunday morning 2,000 years ago never could have happened. But the resurrection is the proof. It's the evidence. It's the stamp of validation from God the Father saying, yes, he really is God the Son. Yes, he really is one with me. Yes, he really is who he said he is. And so if you come this morning and you're like, well, I do this because, you know, in the South, culturally, it's kind of what we do. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But you don't really believe the resurrection of Jesus, you probably won't believe this right here. But if you come this morning and you say, no, the resurrection of Jesus is true. I believe it. Like, faith has come alive inside of my heart and I believe it. Then also believe this. Jesus is God. To see Jesus is to see God. To know Jesus is to know God. Your relationship with God is one with your relationship with Jesus. You must know him. And that's also why he says, hey, there's no other way. There's no other way to get to God. Because he said, I am God. You try to go outside me, you're going outside God. He is the only way because he is one with the Father. He is God the Son, God from all eternity past. What else stands out to you? Truths about God. What verse are you looking at, Cassie?
I'm looking at 15 and 16 where we talk about the Holy Spirit coming to us. But then also you can see it through the fact of he sent Jesus to come and save our souls because we couldn't do it ourselves. And so he's always equipping us for his glory, where he even talks to the disciples and is like, I'm going to leave, but I'm preparing you a place. He's always equipping us for his kingdom and his glory.
That's a great pattern that you've pointed out right there. So Cassie says, God is always equipping us. And she focused here on verses 16 and 17, where Jesus says, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And so, one of the ways that Cassie was describing it right here is think about prior to Jesus coming, that we're lost and separated from God because of our sin. And there's no way that we can fix it. There's no way that we can save ourselves. And so God the Father, God was in perfect relationship with himself from all eternity past, existing in a way that's beyond human comprehension, that each of us, I'm one person and there's me. One person, you, one person, but God as this one being, God, only one God, but he's existed within himself on a level that is more complex than we are, with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all being fully God, all part of this one God who is himself, but so full of reality and existence that he's three persons within himself. And so the Father looks at the creation that he loves, broken and separated by sin, and he sends his Son to come and be the only way that we can be right with him. She said to save us from our sin, to rescue us, to deliver us, to bring us back to himself. So sending what we need, giving us what we need, doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. And we see that piece. And that's the piece where it's like, I'm separated from God and I'm not in Jesus. But because of Jesus, because of his life, death, and resurrection, when I put my faith in Jesus, that he brings me from over here and he brings me back to God and he connects me back to God. But then that's not the end of the story. So Jesus has come and done that work, God the Son. But then God the Son makes this promise right before he ascends back into heaven. He says, hey, when I go, I'm going to send another part of God. I'm going to send God the Spirit to come. And now, not just to be here for you the way that Jesus was here for you, and not just to be beside you the way that Jesus was beside the disciples, but for God the Spirit to come and be inside you. It's basically Jesus saying, I'm going to share my life and existence with you even more than what you've seen so far. What I've done so far is just the beginning, and there's greater things yet to come. And so Cassie says that this is God always equipping us. What you need now to follow Jesus, what you need now to live out the life that Jesus is giving to you, what you need to live in obedience to Jesus and to carry out his purposes for your life and for the church, Jesus is like, all of that, I'll give that to you too. There's nothing that you ever do on your own for Jesus. Everything that's done is Jesus doing it for you, and then Jesus doing it in you so that Jesus can do it through you. And everything he wants from you, he's giving to you. And he's saying over and over and over, die to yourself, get over yourself, stop relying on yourself, come to me in faith, rely on me, trust me, let me do for you what you can't do for yourself, let me do in you what you could never do for yourself, and then I'll do through you all the things that I want to do that you could never do on your own. But in every single way, God's always equipping us. And so then part of the application for us becomes, okay, so am I learning to trust God in that way? Am I turning to God like he's my whole life? Am I reading his word and spending time in prayer and spending time in a community of believers where these truths are coming to life for me and they are my life? And I'm growing strong on the truth of God's word, and I'm growing strong on the presence of God's spirit because I really believe that he offers this and he's the only one who can do it. And so God is always equipping us for everything that he's calling us to do. Another truth that stands out to you? Maybe one or two more? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and these, I mean, God will never leave you. In verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. When you are God's, when you come to God through faith in Jesus and you belong to God and you're part of his family, and God the Father doesn't just stay as God the Father, but becomes God your Father, God my Father. When you are in that type of intimate relationship with God, he makes this promise of, I'm never going to leave you. I'm always with you. And even in this period right now where the world can't see that, with physical eyes, they don't see the presence of God. He's saying, I'm still with you. And with spiritual eyes, you know that by my spirit, I'm with you right now. And a day's coming when Jesus is going to come back, and with physical eyes, we'll see what we've believed with spiritual eyes for all this time. He's like, and I'm going to be with you forever. But just hear the comforting truth that God will never leave you. God is always with you. And there are going to be moments in your life, moments that feel like Friday night from the time when Jesus died all through Saturday, right before early Sunday morning. There's going to be times where you feel like, God can't be here in this. Surely not. It's too dark. It's too black. It's too heavy. It's too hard. I don't feel him at all. He's dead and hope is dead and everything that I would ever want or believe in, it's all dead. It's going to feel that way sometimes in your emotions. And what I want to tell you this morning, everybody that felt that for that Friday night and Saturday when Jesus was in the grave, they had good reason to feel it. They watched him die on the cross. They watched him bleed out and suffocate. Like, surely they're right that he's dead and it's done. They had good reason to feel that way. And they were completely wrong. They were completely wrong. He wasn't done. It wasn't over. And if death for Jesus wasn't the end of the story, the darkest and hardest things in your life, the heaviest things, the death of things that feel most important to you, it's not the end of the story for you. The resurrection of Jesus means that God brings dead things back to life. That God uses death to do some of his best work. The biggest stories of redemption and rescue and deliverance and resurrection that he's going to tell in your life are going to come through some of the hardest things that you go through. And so it may feel like these things aren't true. That's okay. Faith isn't based on what you feel. Faith is based on who Jesus is. Faith is based on the facts of what Jesus has done. Faith is based on what has happened in history. A lot of times people think, well, you know, we've got facts over here, and then faith is like, well, I don't have any facts. I'm going to take a leap of faith and believe anyway. I think that's a bad view of what God actually teaches us about faith. What God teaches us about faith is, I've told you what's true. I've demonstrated it in history. I've given you a written record of it. Now, will your faith hold on to the facts that I've already given you? Or, in the moment when your feelings don't line up with the facts, will you believe your feelings more than you believe the facts? And so it's not faith working against facts. It's actually faith coming along and saying, I got to fight against my feelings. My feelings go all over the place. They're based on my circumstances. They're based on how much sleep I get. I've been really tired lately. We've been running around crazy, all kinds of events with our kids and stuff going on. And I tell you what, like, when I got up this morning, here you go, confession time. I got up this morning, it didn't feel like Easter to me. I felt tired. I didn't want to get out of bed. I thought, hey, I'm going to get up and I may watch the sunrise. I'd like to do that on Easter and just think like this was the moment, like the, you know, that first glimmer of dawn. It's like Jesus came back to life. And I woke up at 5 something and I looked at my watch. I was like, if I get up now, I can watch it. And I was like, I'm not doing it. And I went back to sleep. And I got here. And I didn't, like, sometimes on Easter, like, you just feel, like, that energy. And I stood there and I sang every one of those songs and listened to great songs. And the lyrics were great truth. And they were declaring the most important thing in the history of the world. And I didn't feel something. I'm tired. And I've got a body that's still dust. And so what happens in that moment is either I can let the way that I feel dictate what I believe, or I can let what I believe trump what I feel. And so just while I stood there, just so you know, one of the things I said, and I take this from the Psalms, I was praying in my head to God, and I was saying, from my inmost being, like deeper than my circumstances, deeper than what I feel, deeper than what I can see, from my inmost being, I believe this is true. Thank you that it's true. I don't feel it today, but when did what I feel become the measure of reality? I mean, come on. I filled out a bracket for the NCAA tournament a couple weeks ago with one of my friends. And every year I feel like Kentucky should win it. I was raised in Eastern Kentucky. They haven't won, like, they haven't made it out of the first weekend since 2019. If I can't trust my feelings about that, am I really going to trust my feelings about the most important things in the history of the world? Seriously. How many times, like, have you ever left somewhere, especially like if you're on vacation, you're traveling, you're in a big city, and you walk out and you're like, everything in me, it feels like I should go this way. And your phone's like, no, you need to go this way. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, no, it is that way. I promise you, it's not that way. I can't tell you how many times I've gone the wrong way and had to walk around a block and come back. Like, you get turned around, and what you have to do in that moment is like, no, this is true. This is true. This is not true. This is true. I'm going to listen to this. And then you walk for about a block. You're like, hey, guess what? That was true. And you start to feel differently over time, right? But you got to listen before you start to feel differently. And I'm just saying that because sometimes it's going to feel like God has left you. Sometimes it's going to feel really, really quiet. And you're like, why aren't you saying anything? Where are you? Sometimes it's going to feel like he leaves you there longer than you can bear. But he said, I've already told you, I've already promised you, I'm there. I'm there. I'm doing what I do. All day Saturday, I was doing what I do. And I promise you, Sunday morning is coming. And in that moment, you choose, am I going to listen to my feelings or am I going to listen to the facts that he's already given me? Am I going to let faith fight against my feelings? And is faith going to grab hold to the facts of what God has said and what God has done? Which, listen, that is why we study the Bible this way. Because you tell me, how long does it take? How long did it take for you to hear truths, and then you go out there and one thing jolts you, and your feelings, they just seem to be way louder than the truths you heard? 12 minutes? How many times do you not make it home before there's some kind of fight in the car and you've forgotten everything you've heard? Huh? How many times do you get up Monday morning and there's the work emails and you forget all about this? This is why we come together every week and let's remind ourselves about who God is. Let's remind ourselves of the truth of who God is and what he has done, because we need him just to keep anchoring us and keep bringing us back. And we need our faith to grow stronger and stronger and stronger so that it's strong enough to answer these feelings that aren't right. And look, sometimes your feelings are going to line up, right? Sometimes it's pretty blue skies and sunshine and you feel like everything about God's true. That's great. But still believe it because of the facts, because of who God is, and not just because of the way you feel. And then thank God. Thank you, God, that my feelings get to line up with what faith says today. Thank you, God, that you give me these moments of blessing and lightness and joy. And then when the darkness comes, it's like, just because my feelings have changed, just because my circumstances have changed, these facts haven't changed, and I'll believe them anyway. Those are the moments when it actually takes faith to believe. Right, when everything lines up, like when all the feelings and circumstances line up, it's like, do I believe this because it's true, or do I just believe this because I feel good? But in these moments over here where it is dark and it's heavy and hard, it's like there's nothing in this that would make me believe. Why do I believe? Because God has spoken in His Word. God's told me this is true. God's Spirit is living inside of me, strengthening my faith on the truth of who He is. And I will believe because Sunday happened. Death was not the end of the story. The grave was not the end of the story. God had more to say and more to do. And so right now, when it feels like I'm living in Saturday, I believe Him. I believe Him that somehow, some way that nobody could ever imagine, Sunday's still coming. Resurrection is coming. Joy is coming. Victory is coming. Celebration is coming. And I hold on to Jesus for that. God will never leave you. One more. Adam. Yeah. Because Jesus is the truth and the life. Yeah. Everything outside Him. Oops. Is lies. And death. It always amazes me when God does this. So my plan was, after we've all gotten to study together, I want to go back to the main verse. And my thought was, we've got one I am statement, but Jesus actually packs three together here, which is the most that we get. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And I thought, we'll end. Let's look at those three things about Jesus and what each of them tell us. And so then I'm standing for like one more, and Adam takes us there. So the good news is you don't have to listen to me say anything today, because this is where we were going to end anyway. And Adam just said it. But let's talk about it for just a minute. And we talked about it with the way, and now the truth and the life. Jesus is saying, this is how unique I am. This is how sufficient I am. This is how one of a kind I am. And this is how comprehensive it is. I am the way. And we know that's what He means, because He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way, and I am that way. And I am the truth. That all truth is contained within Jesus. And outside of Jesus, there is no other truth. And I am the life. He is life itself. He is the creator of all things. He is the source of all life. And outside of Him, there is no life. But the outside of Jesus is spiritual death. And Jesus is like, I am the only way. All of the way. All the way that exists. Jesus is saying, I'm it. And I am the truth. The only truth. All the truth that exists. Jesus is it. And I am the life. The only life. All the life that exists. Jesus is it. And I just want you to see and be in awe of how great Jesus is, how unique Jesus is. And then I want you to think about the fact that the man who could stand on earth and say that about himself and then die and come back to life and prove that it's true, that the one who is that great says, I love you personally and intimately, and my death is for you. Why would He give Himself up for people like us? Because I'm nothing like this. I'm not the way. I'm not the life. I'm not the truth. I'm not like Him, and neither are you. Like, He stands in a place where no one else can stand. He has value that no one else has. He has importance and significance that no one else has. And He's like, instead of the greatest coming and demanding that the least would do something for Him, the greatest comes and says, I'll do everything for you. Like, this is the one who gives Himself for you. This is the one who dies in your place. This is the one who offers His life to you, who offers to be one with you and see who He is. The way, the truth, the life. And I don't want to go into like too far into this I am, even though we've been in the series, but just so you know, when we translate this from Greek to English, if any of you have studied any other foreign languages, you know that most of them, like when you get a verb, it has the noun built into it. Like in Spanish, we'll do this real quickly because it's worth seeing. If I say, hablo español, right, this is, I speak And the I comes from that O on the end. So both the I and the speak, the noun and the verb, come from one word. Now, Spanish does have a word for I. It's yo. So a lot of times when you first learn it, yo hablo español. Well, Greek was the exact same way. And this I am statement that Jesus makes over and over and over, he says, ego, I me. Well, I me by itself is I am. And when you put this on the front of it, it was always for a point of emphasis. Like why? It's like, I am. Why would you say it twice when you don't have to? And he does every time in these verses. What he's saying is, I myself, I and I alone am. It's exactly what Adam's saying right here. He's like, yeah, like it would be enough to just say, hey, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. But he's like, no, I'm going to repeat it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's all of it. And so the thing I would say for you this morning as we come to celebrate Easter, whatever thoughts you have about Jesus, whatever thoughts you have about God walking in here today, I hope they're great already. And if they aren't, that's okay. Maybe you haven't spent a lot of time thinking about Jesus for the past few weeks or the past few years of your life. Or maybe you've had some thoughts about God that, I don't even know if I like God. And that's okay too. But I hope you come today and you start to hear in Jesus' words who God really is and how God loves you as a father and longs for you to be his child in Jesus and the way that he's provided for you, what he offers to give to you. And as your view of God is shaped by who Jesus is and what Jesus says, as your eyes start to open to who God is, here's what I hope for every single one of us, whatever your view of God was an hour ago, here's what I hope for you in Jesus today. Whatever you have thought so far about God, Jesus is even better. Jesus is even more. Yeah, Jesus is the way, and Jesus is more than just the way. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is more than just the truth. Jesus is the life, and Jesus is more than just the life. He's like, I can't even tell you who I am with just one of those. I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm all of it. I'm everything you need, and I offer all of myself to you. And so just know that Jesus is that great today. He's everything you need. He's all of it. And Jesus is this good and this gracious that he offers all of that to you in himself. And I pray that you see him that way. And I pray that you trust him that way. And I pray that you love him in that way. And I pray that we worship him together here in just a minute because of that. And so we're going to pray together. And then we're going to have some people down here at the front that if you would like to talk with them about what it means to follow Jesus and trust Jesus, or you'd like to talk about something that's going on in your life and just have somebody pray with you, that's what this time is for. Whatever God's doing in your heart or whatever you need right now, we'll be down here. But we're all going to stand and sing and worship together during that time. So will you pray with me right now? Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you have done these things in history so that we can see you and know you, and then you have recorded them for us, that you have given us a written account of what you have done so we can understand what they mean and we can know you more. And thank you, Father, that you have given your Spirit to open our eyes spiritually, to soften our hearts spiritually, so that we can believe the truth of what you have done and what you have recorded for us. I pray, Father, that during this time, your Spirit and your Word will be at work because of your Son, and that you would stir up this type of faith inside of us, that you will help us to see Jesus and love Jesus and trust Jesus and follow Jesus and be the church that Jesus is calling us to be. Please, Father, do what only you can do. We ask it because of Jesus. And we expect it and we anticipate it because of Jesus. And so we thank you for Jesus' life and Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. And we ask all these things right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and sing with us and come talk, pray with somebody if you need to.